It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today is the open of the 2017 legislative session here in Iowa. And for the first time in nearly 20 years, Iowa Republicans now control the House, the Senate, and, of course, the governor's office. This hour, I'm joined by Iowa Public Radio legislative correspondent Joyce Russell. Mondays during this legislative session, Joyce and I will be examining the issues being debated by lawmakers, sort of week by week, blow by blow. Joyce, great to be with you again at the beginning of this session.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ben.
Joyce coming to us from the State House Law Library in Des Moines. In just a moment, we'll be talking with Republican leaders in both houses, Linda Upmeyer, Speaker of the House, and Senator Bill Dix, Senate Majority Leader. But if I can just ask you some fundamental questions, first of all, Joyce, as I mentioned, it's been a couple decades since Iowa's Republicans have been in this kind of control, in the trifecta, as we've been calling it. In broad terms, what will that mean?
Well, it will mean that many of the initiatives of the Republican-controlled House, which were approved and sent over to the Senate and were not considered, those will now be available, and many of them passed again and sent over to a much friendlier Senate.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be hearing about those issues in just a moment from the leadership itself. But let's talk about Governor Branstad. He's been, of course, named by Donald Trump to be the next U.S. ambassador to China. Do we know yet how long Governor Branstad will be here in Iowa, serving in that capacity of governor?
No, we don't. He was just talking this morning about how extensive the vetting process is and the number of forms he's had to fill out. In fact, he was lobbying this morning for, under a Trump administration, he thinks that whole process should be simplified. But at any rate, he will appear before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and we don't know when that will happen. One Republican leader predicted that he would likely be here for much, if not all, of the session. But at any rate, Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds is standing by, ready to take office, and there's every indication that she's been at the table, as, for example, as the budget has been put together. So I don't think anybody is expecting any big changes when that occurs.
Mm-hmm. And that her agenda will, to a great degree, mirror his agenda.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The condition of the state address coming up tomorrow from the governor. We'll have live coverage here on Iowa Public Radio beginning at about 10 o'clock, I believe. What are we expecting from the governor's final condition of the state speech?
Well, I asked him this morning at the news conference if there would be any surprises, and he said no before I even got the question out. So
right.
I guess we're not expecting any surprises. The one initiative that he's been mentioning that I'm expecting to hear some details on tomorrow is an impaired driving initiative. Traffic fatalities are up in Iowa to a kind of astonishing degree after years of decline. And there's indication that distracted driving has something to do with that. Impaired driving has something to do with that. So I'm expecting to hear some details on that tomorrow. And then, of course, the governor also releases his budget tomorrow, even though he's not required to do that until the end of the month. He, as a matter of course, has always put his budget out on the same day as condition of the state. And one of the first things that the legislature is going to have to deal with is a budget shortfall for this fiscal year, which ends in June. And so we're expecting to get his recommendations tomorrow for about $100 million in cuts to this year's budget, which is already 6 months completed.
Right. We have that budget shortfall, and at the same time we have Republican lawmakers wanting talking about tax cuts. So not quite eye-to-eye there on that as well. Well, Joyce, I think you've been joined by a couple of Republican leaders, Representative Linda Upmeyer, Speaker of the House. Welcome to our program.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
And also Senator Bill Dix, I believe, is with us now, Republican Senate Majority Leader. Senator Dix, Majority Leader Dix, welcome.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Joyce and I would like to talk a little bit about the priorities that the Republicans have in both houses, both chambers, and we'd like to have our conversation joined by our listeners. If our listeners would like to ask or have some input into this legislative session, join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. And perhaps our listeners will have some input about the ideas that are put forth by Speaker Upmeyer and Majority Leader Dix. Since we talked about that budget shortfall just a moment ago before you joined us, let's pick up there, because we've been hearing from Republican lawmakers that a tax cut is being discussed. It's been a couple decades since the GOP-led legislature passed, and Governor Terry Branstad signed a 10% across-the-board tax cut. Let me start with you, Speaker Upmeyer. Is a tax cut in your sights?
Well, absolutely. We always look for that opportunity to put more dollars back in the taxpayer pockets. And Senator Dix is probably even more prepared to answer that question for you, because honestly, I've been focusing quite a lot on that budget correction that we need to make here in the as one of our first orders of business. But absolutely, we look every year at how we can do take an opportunity to make Iowa more competitive, give us better opportunity with a tax code. And certainly even we should at least at minimum be able to simplify our tax code. For heaven's sakes, we fill out similar forms as the federal government. We should be able to do better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Senator Dix, what kind of tax cut? Elaborate a little bit on what Speaker Upmeyer mentioned there.
Well, you know, as I listen to Iowans all across our state, our rural communities, we really feel like what I'm hearing is that they're concerned about, you know, declining enrollment in our schools. They're concerned about stagnant wages. I was a freshman in the Iowa House when we last addressed our uncompetitive tax code and were able to move forward a 10% across the board income tax cut. And the lesson I really took away from that and watching what occurred after that became Iowa law was the growth that it occurred, that it really fostered and bringing in new opportunities all across Iowa. That's why we need to look at our tax code. We need to replace it with one that rewards hard work, rewards people who want to make investments in our state, people who want to start up new companies, new jobs, new careers for Iowans in every corner of our state. And, you know, fortunately, we've learned some of those lessons here in Iowa. We also can take advantage of some lessons learned in other states that have pursued it as well, because the states that have moved toward a lower, simpler, broader tax system, it you see growth occur, and that's really what we're going to focus our time and attention on. And we want to become a state that attracts new people, new residents to our state, and that's a quality way of getting that job done.
On the issue of across-the-board income tax cuts, you just referred to the 10% that happened 20 years ago. I think at that time they were shooting. They wanted 15%. You settled for 10%. In the meantime, the Iowa House passed a 20% across-the-board income tax cut at some point during your years controlling the Iowa House. Why is that a good place to start, an income across-the-board income tax cut?
Well, for one thing, it benefits everyone in a way that's very simple to understand and very easy to calculate and work into their tax plan. But you're correct. We did that in, I want to say, 12 or 13 that we moved forward with that. And that would have been a great opportunity if we had been able to get the Senate to pay attention to that at that time. It was an opportunity where we had an unusual kind of revenue. We could have really worked on it hard then. One of the things I want to spin back to, though, a little bit on this topic, is we need to remember that as we go forward, we really believe Iowa has a spending problem, not a revenue problem. So as we talk about the kinds of cuts that are possible in income tax, and we've got a lot of minds here working on this, so certainly collapsing categories to a much smaller number of brackets, doing some things that probably move some incentives aside and create more across-the-board opportunities. But at the end of the day, we have to manage our spending. And I think that's one of the exercises we're going to be working on right now in looking at the 17 budget. And then as we put together the 18 budget, we need to be able to create the opportunities so we can fuel the economy in this state.
Well, briefly, back on that across-the-board cut, I guess this question would be for either of you. You said that the across-the-board cut is easy to understand. The flip side of that is that's not very progressive. Would you agree with that, Senator Dix?
You know, at this point, I don't think it's as important the details of whatever the proposal comes forward is the fact that we are listening to Iowans, and we want to make sure that we are reforming our tax code in a manner that encourages hard work, rewards people who are working hard, and attracts new investment to our state. That's what creates new career opportunities, and again, we have some lessons that we can learn both from our actions here in Iowa and other states as to how to best accomplish that. And I believe it starts, as Speaker Utmeyer has said, with recognizing that we need to take care of business at hand and make sure that we treat the state budget like families treat their budget and making sure that they fund their commitments.
Mm-hmm. Speaker Utmeyer, to what extent is the governor on board with the budget deficit that is trying to be closed now that you are working on right now? Are tax cuts necessarily the thing that is in order at this particular moment in time, considering that budget deficit?
Well, I think we always have to be vigilant in thinking about how we might accomplish that, because if we lose sight of that, then we're not really doing our job. So I think as we move forward, as I said, there are many ways that we can simplify, things that we can do that really make us more competitive right out of the chute. And if we have to advance at this, however we can figure out the best way to do it. But we're not going to stop looking, and we're not going to stop trying, and we're not going to stop working on behalf of Iowans to accomplish this. So I think the governor is concerned that there might not be as much opportunity. Well, that doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we quit looking. That doesn't mean we quit working on this. We're going to persevere and be thoughtful about that opportunity.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to our program looking at the open of the 2017 legislative session, speaking with Linda Utmeyer, Speaker of the House, Republicans control of both chambers. We're also joined by the Senate Majority Leader, Republican Bill Dix. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. What would you like to see get done in this legislative session? Do you like the ideas you're hearing from the GOP leaders this hour? 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Scott. Scott is on the line in Iowa City. What would you like to chip in, Scott?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm a graduate student at the University of Iowa, and I've heard some rumors about potential changes to the state legislation regarding collective bargaining. And so I was just wondering where collective bargaining rights might fall on the Republican legislative agenda. I think a lot of us in Iowa City are concerned that – I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. We're hearing you, Scott.
Okay. A lot of us in Iowa City are concerned that the Republican agenda might reflect something similar to what happened in Wisconsin a few years ago. And so I guess I'm interested in hearing what the Republican legislators' comments on that might be.
Thank you, Scott, in Iowa City. Who wants to tackle that, Senator Dix, Representative Utmeyer?
Sure. I'll take a stab at it. What we really need to do is take a solid look at everything that we do in state government. The message that I clearly heard from Iowans is that they want our state to reflect their values. They want new opportunities to come to our state. If all we do is the same things that we've done in the past, we're probably going to get a similar result. And so really, to set Iowa apart, we need to take a look at every aspect of state government and how we're doing things, and explore those new opportunities and way that we can make improvements to our state. And that's what we intend to do. as it relates to every function of state government, just move forward in a positive manner. And
specifically to collective bargaining laws, what specifically do Republicans want to change?
You know, we're looking at every aspect of those rules and laws that are in place, along with everything else in state government. I mean, you can't take anything off the table at this stage of planning and looking at where we can go as a state to create those new opportunities. And so there's a process in place within the committee structure here in the Capitol, and I expect that the committee will do its work and find a suitable solution.
I understand one of the options being discussed would be to require unions and other organizations that represent public employees to hold annual certification votes among its members. Is that something being discussed? Is that a likely part of this suggested change?
Specifically, I've not heard from the members of the committees that are working on this. I would assume that that's something that they will have conversations about, but I don't believe any decisions have been made at this time, just what that proposal is going to ultimately look like.
Mm-hmm. Speaker Uffmeyer, do you have any specifics here? We're very, very vague at this point on the collective bargaining laws, the changes. Can we get more detail from you?
Well, it's really kind of early in the process to have too much detail to be too certain about, because we have been listening to Iowans. We will continue to listen to Iowans. Committees are putting together ideas. But as you well know, there are many people in the building. There are many people outside the building that we're listening to, working with. But one of the things we do want to make sure is that in everything we consider, people have a seat at the table. And in this particular topic, taxpayers have never had a seat at the table. And it is time that taxpayers do have that opportunity to weigh in and work together and take another look at all of the operations that feed into state government.
Well, Joyce, unless you wanted to jump in here, we might switch to another one of the priorities. Well, a constant priority addressed by every legislature. Let's talk about education, the ideas that the Republican majorities in both chambers have on education. Representative Uffmeyer or Senator Dix?
Well, we've been talking to the superintendents, school boards, teachers, folks around the state as we've knocked doors over the course of the last many months prior to November. And one of the things that we hear very often is that different schools have different funds that perhaps have resources that they are unable to spend because they really need the resources in a different fund. And we would sure like to understand where we can be helpful in creating more flexibility for schools. So within those funds, last year, for example, and this is just one example, we were hearing schools talk about having extra dollars in professional development funds and would like to use them for other purposes, textbooks, classroom things. And so we sent a bill over to the Senate. Of course, that died last year in the Senate. This year, if we send something similar, I expect it will get a good conversation. So I think there are opportunities to create flexibility for schools. I think there are opportunities to look at different opportunities so that parents and children are being best served as we focus on our kids around the state.
What about maybe a little friendlier atmosphere in the legislature for things that favor or benefit private schools or home schools? There's been some discussion that those measures, which have passed the House in the past, are going to get a friendlier reception in the Senate now. So, Senator Dix, what would you like to see there?
Well, where we think our priorities should lie in education is ensuring that students all across our state, regardless of where you are put in a position that they can achieve a world-class education. Part of how we can accomplish that is by providing some predictable stability funding at the state level. And one of the things we want to do right away and early is establish funding for our schools in the first 30 days, what that number is going to look like for the year that we have ahead of us. And I would expect that you'll also see some new creative ideas with respect to parents having more choice in where their students may be able to attend. I expect that there'll be additional consideration since we've seen that in the House, and I know that there are a number of members of the Iowa Senate Republican team that feel strongly about that and how that can help and enable more students in our state to have new opportunities.
I know the bill that passed the House, I believe it was last year, critics said that that was just flat out a voucher bill. That was vouchers for private schools. Will the Senate take a serious look at that?
You know, I expect that there will be extensive committee discussion about how educational scholarships and providing more choice and opportunities for Iowa students to attend a school that best fits their needs to occur. Again, part of doing business differently in Iowa is exploring these new ideas, and we really want to make sure that we have an opportunity for growth here.
Senator Dixon, exploring new ideas, but at the same time, those out there who really want to keep our public school tradition strong, can you assure those people that the public schools will maintain funding, will not have charter schools, these choices, other choices, be the ones receiving resources at their expense?
Without question, you know, Iowa has a long tradition of high-quality public schools. We want to do everything we can to enable that those opportunities in our public schools to even get better. And you know, there's no reason that, you know, offering parents and students some choice cannot be a contributor and work hand-in-hand with our overall school system to provide those new opportunities.
Okay. Before we go to a break, let's go to Chris in Des Moines. He dialed 1-866-780-9100. Not much time, Chris, a minute or so. Please make your point or ask a question, please.
Okay. On the union that you guys are talking about, is Iowa going to, since the Iowa governor is good friends with the Wisconsin governor, is Iowa governor going to act the same way how the Wisconsin governor acted, or is this going to just do the state employees pretty much any old kind of way? You have a lot of state employees that right now that are doing 2, 3, 4 people's jobs, and so you're going to throw more on them. And so hopefully if that keeps happening, hopefully the public will get on the legislators to let you know that, hey, you're throwing too much on and stuff isn't getting done the way it should get done.
Chris, I'm going to cut you off in the interest of getting an answer. We're running out of time getting up there. Senator Dix, Representative Meyer, who wants to give a quick response to that? We're going to break.
We look forward to working with Governor Branstad on policies relating to labor and everything else in our state.
Okay. We'll be back in just a moment. Senator Bill Dix, the new Senate Majority Leader, will be with us for another few minutes, as well as Representative Linda Upmeyer, Speaker of the House. And we hope you'll join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Joyce Russell, our Iowa Public Radio correspondent, with us as we look at the opening of the 2017 legislative session, the first time in nearly 20 years that Iowa Republicans in control of both chambers as well as the governor's office. I'm Ben Kiefer, back with more of River to River in just a moment. And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, looking at the 2017 legislative session just opening today. It's the first time in a couple decades that Iowa Republicans control all three, the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell joins me now. She's joining us from the State House Law Library. We had hoped to keep Representative Linda Upmeyer, Speaker of the House, and Senator Bill Dix, Senate Majority Leader, a little bit longer. They had to evidently leave. In just a moment, we'll be getting some Democratic voices here. Leader of the Senate, Senator Rob Hoeg, and Representative Mark Smith, who is the leader of the House, Democrats, in just a moment. But Joyce Russell, I wanted to see if you had any particular reactions to what the Republican leader said in the first half of the program.
Well, I think that...
not a lot of specifics.
I think the priorities are clear, but you're right, not a lot of specifics. But this is the time of the session when there'll be a lot of caucus meetings, private party meetings, and that's where they will hash those issues out and decide for abortion, for example, to decide just exactly what they're going to call for, tax cuts, collective bargaining. All of those things that the House has passed in previous years and which did not see action in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, we want to give a little programming note. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we'll be having live coverage of the governor's condition of the state address tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And also tomorrow during this program, political goings-on as well, we'll be looking back at President Obama's legacy in the White House. We'll be joined by Jessica Welburn of the University of Iowa's Department of Sociology and African American Studies. Also, Lori Chesser, she's an immigration lawyer of more than 20 years. Both of those experts will help us understand the impact President Obama has made on politics, policy, and the American people. We hope you'll join us tomorrow on the program. Well, let's go to our callers as we await some Democratic leaders to take their place at the State House Law Library and see what we can do for it, see what's on the minds of our river-to-river listeners. What would you like to see get done in the legislative session this year? Zach is with us in Des Moines. He dialed 1-866-780-9100. Zach, what's on your mind?
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm fine. What would you like to have the legislature address?
Well, first of all, I just want to say what a disappointment it was for the Democratic Party this time around. I mean, with who they were up against, I really thought they'd do a lot better. So, but my question is, and I wish I could have asked the Republicans this, but what is the legislature going to do about medical marijuana? You have children with epilepsy that are suffering, and I believe we are way ahead on gay marriage and way behind on this issue.
Okay,
so,
Zach,
what's going to be done?
Thank you very much. Republican legislature, Joyce, are we likely to see much in the expansion of medical marijuana?
Well, there is interest in making a really significant step and having marijuana actually produced and distributed here for medical purposes. And there's some interest among Republicans in doing that. A Republican-sponsored bill did pass last year in the House. Now, Senate Democrats took it much further than House Republicans did. But there is interest in doing that, and one of the key figures there is Representative Claude Bodler, who chairs the Public Safety Committee in the House. Representative Bodler has expressed some interest in that. Politically, I think it's very, very difficult. I wouldn't bet that anything is going to happen on that, but we'll certainly see some discussion of it.
If you just joined us, we're looking at the 2017 legislative session, which is opening today. Joyce Russell, our Iowa Public Radio legislative correspondent, with us from the State House Law Library. Also joining us now, Senator Rob Hogue, leader of the Senate Democrats, a senator from Cedar Rapids. Senator Hogue, welcome to our program again.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Good afternoon. Busy day there in Des Moines, getting things started again for this session after, for Democrats, what was an extremely disappointing election result. How do you go forward with the now being in the minority in both houses? What are your plans?
Well, what I am urging colleagues and Iowans across our state to do is to have a renewed sense of citizenship and to get engaged in this process. And if we can make the choice, even under single-party control, to work together and address real problems, not some of these fake problems that I've heard coming from some of the Republican leaders, not the rank and file, but the leaders, and I think we have a real opportunity to focus on those real problems like public safety, stagnant wages, water quality, educational opportunity. I think we can focus on those and leave some of the ideological issues to the side. I think we have the chance of doing that if Iowans are engaged in this process and speak up.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by fake issues?
Well, I talked about three of them on the floor of the Senate this morning. One is collective bargaining. Collective bargaining has worked. It's not a problem. Health benefits for public workers are not a problem. Second was Planned Parenthood funding. Having Iowans be eligible to get medical services through Planned Parenthood, and what I'm talking about here are contraception, cancer screenings, other preventive health measures, that's not a problem. That's actually part of the solution. And the final thing is this fake problem of voter fraud that they keep raising. We don't have voter fraud, and Republicans should know that because they just won a bunch of elections. So if they really think it's fraudulent, I think they need to look in the mirror and think about how they won those elections if they think there's voter fraud. We don't think it's a problem. We want to encourage participation, not create more government barriers to participation.
Also joining us, along with Senator Rob Hoke, I believe Representative Mark Smith, leader of the House Democrats, Representative Mark Smith from Marshalltown. Welcome to our conversation as well.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, and hello to Ben and to Joyce and to all the listeners of Iowa Public Radio.
We just heard from Senator Hoge about his plans going forward after what for the Democrats is an extremely difficult time, disappointing election results. What are your thoughts, Mark Smith?
Well, first of all, I would like for people to be reminded that a good number of people were elected to the Iowa General Assembly who gave very vague answers and talked about being strong supporters of things like public schools. And in reality, we don't know where they stand on a number of issues. And the listeners who listened to the first part of this broadcast saw that again. So uncertainty rules at this point.
Mm-hmm. Representative Smith, what changes that you've heard in the hallways or on the floor publicly planned by Republicans, as you understand it, are most concerning to you as a Democrat?
Well, we as Democrats very much support revitalizing rural Iowa and having a strong public school system in our state. Anyone who knows anything about rural Iowa knows that when a school closes, that community dries up and blows away. So there is discussion about having a voucher system and moving funding away from public schools. These already have been the sixth worst years in Iowa's history for funding of public education. The law setting state supplemental aid has not been followed by the House Republicans. We've attempted to require them to do so on the Democratic side, and the democratically led Senate has followed the law every time. Now, they're talking this year about doing it within the first 30 days, which is commendable, but let's keep in mind that they are already 1 year behind in the legal obligation in setting this.
Okay. Let's go to our phones. Joining us, once again, if you just joined us, the Democratic leaders, Representative Mark Smith, leader of the House Democrats, Senator Rob Hoge, leader of the Senate Democrats in the Iowa legislature, 1-866-780-9100. Joe is with us from Ames. What are you hearing that you like or dislike, Joe?
Hello there. I'm a state of Iowa employee, and we hear an awful lot about the new collective bargaining that's on the table. And some points of it are we will be forced to use vacation time for our pay or vacation time for holidays off and some other things like that. You know, we're state of Iowa people first, employees second. It just seems like the governor, you know, talks about the state of Iowa having the greatest employees, you know, as a whole, and that would also include a state of Iowa employee. You know, what do you see coming out of this collective bargaining for a state of Iowa employee?
Okay, Joe, hold on a moment before we go to the answer. Let's go to Patricia in North Liberty. She's also on the same tenor. Maybe we can get two views and have you respond to both of them. Patricia in North Liberty, hi. Go ahead, please.
Hi. My concern as a retired teacher from Wisconsin, I went through that experience, and I want to speak about the unions because people don't realize, but I felt forced to be a member because of the tort laws. I don't think people realize there's $1 million coverage for legal action, and teachers are at the forefront of so many, exposed to so many concerns in the public that it's quite scary sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The responsibility then is to protect teachers, and I don't think there's enough done in that way. Unions, when they first developed,
Patricia, I'm sure you have a lot of experiences to share from your time in Wisconsin. Do you have a question for our guests?
I think that union law in regards to current situation needs to be looked at.
Okay.
Because I have seen where bad employees are protected and there's no accountability. I'd like to see more accountability. I'd like to see people be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Excellent. Thank you for putting that in a nutshell for us, Patricia. So what about that, Mark Smith and Rob Hoke? There's someone seeing possibly an argument for reforming a collective bargaining law.
Well, first of all, let's take a step back from this. We've had collective bargaining in this state for over four decades, basically all of my life, and it has served our state well. The fundamental question is, should workers be able to bargain for fair wages and benefits and have a role in it? And I think that's important. When you look at our problems in our economy today, it's not because public workers like sanitation workers and social workers for the DHS and teachers and police officers have health benefits. The problem is we need to have broader prosperity, and that's something that Democrats believe strongly in, policies that will raise wages and improve benefits for everyone. I have met with a lot of people involved in labor management relations in the public sector right now, and they think it's the best it's ever been in the state. They think we have a system that works. You know, there might be some changes here and there that don't gut the whole system, right, that they might pursue. But the real fundamental issue here is, are we going to stand up for this system that has served our state so well? And be real practical about it, because there are some negative practical consequences if we get rid of it, because people don't remember how bad it was before collective bargaining was in our state.
Okay.
Let's keep in mind that...
Mark Smith, yes, go ahead.
Yes, let's keep in mind that, first of all, this was signed into law by a Republican governor of the state. Robert D. Ray signed this into law. It was passed through both houses of the legislature in a bipartisan way. And when he signed it into law, Governor Ray talked about the value of employers and employees sitting down and working through these issues. Now, in 2007, we also had the now chair of the Republican Party talk about the importance of this law working as it currently is. It has served us for a good number of years here in our state and needs to stay in place.
Well, it's certainly become almost part of the Republican playbook, not just in Iowa, but in other states, to restrict collective bargaining rights. We saw some very lengthy debates in the House in 2011 and again in 2015 when the Republican majority passed some restrictions on collective bargaining. When this comes up before the Senate this year, what's that debate going to look like, Senator Hoag?
Well, I think in part it depends on what gets proposed. If they understand and recognize the fundamental value of our collective bargaining system, and they've got some modest changes that they want to pursue, we may not like them, but that doesn't become kind of the full-fledged, really kind of ugliness that you saw, for example, in Wisconsin. So we're going to see. I'm excited. We've got Nate Bolton, one of our new senators, is going to be our ranking member on the Labor Committee, and we're excited about the direction as a caucus. We work together to see which direction we go.
Let's go back to our phones. Jason is joining us in Des Moines with Senator Hoag and Representative Mark Smith, along with Joyce Russell of Iowa Public Radio. Jason in Des Moines, running out of time, but we'd love to hear your comment, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call here. I'm from Des Moines, and I can't stress how angry I am that this aggressive and, frankly, embarrassing party has won all three branches of our government. And it's infuriating, and as Senator Hoag says, it gets me really motivated to participate. So I have two questions. First, do you need more candidates? I am really interested in unseating some Republicans. And second, with the Planned Parenthood defunding thing, that is infuriating. How can they single out a particular institution that provides a public benefit and defund just that institution based on what? What's the legality there? How can that even happen?
Okay, Jason, thank you very much. We're going to try to get those addressed to the best of our ability here. First, the Planned Parenthood issue. What are we seeing there? Is that Mark Smith? Yeah.
Yes. This is a very important concern for us. Planned Parenthood has been an entity that has helped us in the United States to have the concept of privacy. And the importance of services that they provide, they are the number one agency in the state of Iowa to help with breast cancer screening. Women's health issues are on the line here. Funding for Planned Parenthood and for family planning agencies is critical in our state, something that people have gone very comfortable with this being provided and are going to be shocked at what effect it has when it's discontinued, if it's discontinued in Iowa.
I think that to get at this specific question, I think he's asking, how can they do that? How can the legislature single out Well, the way those bills have been written in the past, they've just written them in such a way that Planned Parenthood would no longer be in the mix.
Yes, right. What they do is they're going to try to write this with qualifications that rule Planned Parenthood out from being qualified. But the problem is Planned Parenthood provides good preventative health services all across the state. The state of Iowa does not fund a single abortion through Planned Parenthood. So these are what we are really talking about is family planning, cancer screening, very valuable services for people across our state, especially perhaps low-income women through the Medicaid program. And it is something we want to expand access for people to preventative health services. We don't want to take it away. And so this is one of these these efforts to try to address a fake problem. We've got real problems. This is a fake problem that's been manufactured, and I'm hopeful that we don't go the route. But citizens need to speak up.
Okay, Senator Hoke, Representative Smith, you're the respective leaders in each of the chambers for the Democrats. What about the other part of the caller's question there? Very angry, very frustrated there. What are you doing to reboot, to overhaul, so that you're in better shape after this huge defeat in the last election? Are we going to hear again that's just a matter of messaging, or do you need to do something further?
Representative Smith and I have already begun with our members reaching out all across the state. We're going to be listening. We're going to be present. We're going to be standing up for Iowans and speaking up for Iowans. So that's how we're reacting to that.
What are you doing differently, though, I guess, is the question.
I don't remember my prior leader having listening sessions around the state, and I've already had five of them last week. So we're going to be doing a lot of this because we've got to get people engaged. And then, of course, the question is, yes, people need to get involved. And if you want to get involved in the Democratic Party and get more involved, now is a good time to do it. If you want to get more involved in some of the organizations that are fighting causes you believe in, like supporting Planned Parenthood, do that. If we work together, we need to understand all Democrats don't agree on every single issue, but we do need to work together on these core issues and really stand up. Because remember, it's not just at the state level we're dealing with this new Republican majority. This is the first time in my life. It's also at both levels, at the federal level. Mm-hmm. And we have a president who, in my view, is well outside the mainstream of American politics and is a real danger to our country. And we need citizens to be engaged, speak up. We've got the Women's March coming up on January 21st. A lot of opportunities to get involved.
Let me start with this young man said that he was interested in running for public office, so please call me, that we are indeed interested in good quality candidates who will work hard, carry the message that helps Iowa be progressive for not just a few Iowans, but for all Iowans. We recognize that in the 2016 election, some of the people that had traditionally voted Democratic did not vote Democratic this year, and so we are looking at a comprehensive plan to A, identify why they left us and work on the issues that they see as important, and second of all, to get out there in communities across the state, as Representative Hoke said, but not only the listening posts where we listen to what Iowans say, but to join them side by side and to work with them.
Senator Hoke, how big a hill do the Democrats have to climb to regain the majority?
Well, I need six seats. And so that's a relatively large hill. But I think based on the enthusiasm I am seeing from Democrats, across the state, people are getting more involved. They're getting more engaged. We've had all kinds of events where we've had people say, I've never been involved before, and I know I need to because I don't like the direction Republicans are taking our state and our country. So, these things swing back and forth. Joyce, you'll remember the last time Republicans had all of Iowa state government. 2 years later, they did not. And I think these things can swing back quickly. And our job is to do the best job up here we can to try to stop their dangerous policies and then prepare for the 2018 legislative elections.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. We've run out of time, Representative Smith. I think you wanted to jump in there. We've run out of time. Sorry. We'll have to have you back on, and we certainly will in the future. Representative Mark Smith, leader of the House Democrats, Senator Rob Hoke, leader of the Senate Democrats, thank you both for coming in to the State House Law Library. Ben Kiefer with Joyce Russell. Our Legislative Mondays have started, as today is the kickoff of the 2017 legislative session. River to River, produced by Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon, with help from Chelsea Hoy. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.